Welcome to Notes on Nursing Live, compelling interviews with today's nurses who are changing healthcare. Brought to you by Johnson & Johnson. Notes on Nursing Live, presented by Johnson & Johnson, is the podcast extension of the national bi-monthly e-digest Notes on Nursing, which shines a spotlight on nurses as innovators and critical change makers in the delivery of positive patient outcomes within today's healthcare landscape. You can subscribe to receive Notes on Nursing updates at the Johnson & Johnson Nursing website, nursing.jnj.com. Every month, Notes on Nursing content is accompanied by two episodes of this podcast, which provides greater insights and nurse perspectives into topics discussed in the e-digest. You can listen to previous episodes of Notes on Nursing Live on the podcast player at nursing.jnj.com, and don't forget to subscribe to the entire series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of Notes on Nursing Live, I interview innovative neonatal cardiac care nurse Elizabeth McCullough. Elizabeth is the Division Director of Quality and Resource Management for HCA Capital Division in Richmond, Virginia. Prior to that position, she led efforts to implement newborn screening for critical congenital heart disease, CCHD, and created an innovative screening toolkit to detect CCHD in newborns, which is now in use across the United States and around the world. Join us as we talk about her innovative work with these critically ill babies and dive deeper into the importance of nurse-led innovation in positive healthcare change. Hi, Elizabeth. I want to welcome you to Notes on Nursing Live. We are happy to have you on the program in this episode. And I thought we'd start off and ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of introduce us to how you got into nursing and what your career path has been like.
Jamie, thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor to be here today to talk with you all and to share my story with regards to nursing innovation. I was working as a staff nurse at Children's National Medical Center in Washington, D.C., and I was working in pediatric cardiology at the time that I became involved in this project. I was approached by a pediatric cardiologist. His name is Gerard Martin, and he had just received a gift from a family to do work surrounding improving outcomes for patients who have congenital heart disease, or more specifically, critical congenital heart disease. And we partnered together at this time to do research on the use of pulse oximetry to screen for critical congenital heart disease, or CCHD. At the time, there was some initial research that showed that pulse oximetry could be an effective means to screen for CCHD. However, there was not a lot of work done in community hospitals, and so there was question about how hospitals with fewer resources than large academic centers that were typically doing the research could implement screening. And the folks questioned, could they implement screening? And if so, what were the barriers that the hospitals would face? What was best practice with implementation, et cetera? So Dr. Martin and I partnered to do research, and that was kind of the initiation of this work, ultimately leading to the toolkit, which helped hospitals to implement very easily. But it was basically, we heard far too many stories about babies who came to us who had not been detected on time and either died waiting for treatment or died prior to even coming into the hospital. So we wanted to improve outcomes for these babies and their families.
And that's so important. And I actually, before I was a nurse, I was a paramedic in a rural area. And, one of the challenges that we face is you don't see the same types or level or acuity of calls. And so you don't get an opportunity to practice some of those critical skills. So it is a challenge to find ways to help people in those community hospitals that don't see as many of these critical infants, to give them the resources they need to make these types of assessment. So What did you find when you started doing your research? Because obviously this has been a very successful program.
Yeah. So we did the research at a very large, a large community hospital located in Silver Spring, Maryland. It's Holy Cross Hospital. And at that time, they were delivering 10 to 12,000 babies a year. So we thought, you know, if they can do it here, then really anywhere, you know, any large community hospital should be able to do it. And we found that overall implementation of CCHD screening is very easy. It didn't require any additional resources with regards to staff. So they actually they had somebody, because of their volume, they had somebody who did all the hearing screenings, and they just paired pulse oximetry screening with the hearing screening, and didn't add significantly to the workload of that person. That is not always, you know, that's not always the case. Some of the other facilities that we worked with had, you know, other folks, primarily the patient's primary nurse, conducting the screening, but nowhere did we find that additional resources such as staff were required. We found that the number of false positives was not considerable. We found that education of staff and providers was very important with regards to ensuring that the staff who were to be conducting the screening knew how to place the probe or the sensor on the patient to get the best reading, and also how to correctly interpret the algorithm. The algorithm can be a little tricky, and, you know, misinterpretation of the algorithm could result in a baby who actually passed the test being identified as failed, and then that baby could go on to have additional screening. So education was very, very important of that that frontline staff. And again, overall, we found that overall implementation was easy, and with the tools that we provided via this toolkit that was created, it made implementation even easier, because all the tools that a hospital or a nurse, you know, a nurse director, nurse manager, who's responsible for implementing the program, or right there in the toolkit, there was education materials for parents and for providers. There were recommendations with regards to implementation. We had all the PowerPoints already kind of prepared for the education, and all of that was kind of, you know, in one step, or in one kit that hospitals could just easily use to implement.
And it's an interesting thing, and really exciting from my standpoint, is to see how far and wide this has been disseminated, because we're looking at international communities of nurses and physicians picking up this program, this assessment tool, and putting it in place in places all over the world and translated into multiple languages. That must be terribly rewarding for you.
It's really, really cool. It's not too long ago, I had an opportunity to meet a patient who I had heard a lot about. The baby was born in New Jersey, and the story was previously shared by Johnson & Johnson, but I had heard all about this little guy. Dylan is his name, and I had worked, actually. So the state of New Jersey was the first state to pass legislation that mandated screening of all their babies, and I worked with the state of New Jersey to create their implementation guidelines. They used our toolkit to create some of their guidelines and their education materials. And I did train the trainer type education sessions in New Jersey. And so I was very excited about New Jersey's effort. And on the very first day that they started screening, baby Dylan was born, and he failed the screen and had an echocardiogram, and he was found to have critical congenital heart disease. That was 7 years ago. And within the past few weeks, he celebrated his 7th birthday. So it's incredibly rewarding to see babies like Dylan and other babies that we know have been positively affected by the toolkit, both in the United States, but also, you know, throughout the country. very, you know, as a mom, it makes me very proud to know that I have helped other families and have contributed to positive outcomes of, you know, babies born, and also, you know, to the greater family unit and greater community, congenital heart disease community.
It's really exciting to see this program, because one of the things I like about it, and I think it's obvious because of the nature of our program, but that it's nurse implemented at the bedside, mm-hmm. or at, you know, soon after birth,
yeah.
and they can be part of the process, an integral part of the process, and that you were an integral part of the process of putting this together. What do you think it is about nurses that makes them so important to this type of innovation in healthcare?
I think that nurses are in such a unique position. So they're the front line. They're at the front line of healthcare. They're at the patient's bedside, and they are the primary person who is at the bedside, you know, for 100% of the time. So nurses work obviously with a very important interdisciplinary team of folks, physicians, PTOT, lab, EVS, you know, all kinds of folks throughout the hospital, but nobody else on the healthcare team is at that patient's bedside, as long as the nurse and gets to know the patient like the nurse does, or the processes of care, you know, like the nurse does. And I think that because the nurse has this unique perspective of care that's provided to our patients, he or she often has a unique perspective with regards to how that care can be improved. And so nurses who have that perspective and that unique, you know, benefit, are at a wonderful opportunity, or have a wonderful opportunity, to be innovative, because, you know, oftentimes they have these great ideas kind of floating around in their head about what can be improved or how they could do things better, how they could do things differently. And again, it's because they have that unique perspective that really nobody else on the healthcare team has.
I'm curious, when you were putting this tool together and initially doing the research and testing, what were some of the instances that you encountered where the nurses that you worked with were saying, this needs to be tweaked, or you know, this, we need to adjust this? Because I'm sure it happened.
Yeah. So I learned a great lesson at the very beginning of this project, like very, very beginning. We were doing research when we first started working at Holy Cross. And I was working with Dr. Martin, who was on the team, and several other physicians, and the nursing director, nursing leadership, physician leadership, to create this protocol to screen the babies at Holy Cross, and had come up with this, like, you know, what I thought was a great protocol, and took it then to a group of bedside providers. And they looked at me and they were like, this is not going to work. this isn't how we do things. So we ended up revising the protocol to make it more friendly with their workflow and more conducive with their workflow. But that was a great lesson to learn early on, because from then on, we included bedside providers in any meeting that we had or any initiative that we worked on surrounding, to implement a new process at the bedside, because those folks are the ones, again, who have that unique perspective, and they really truly do know what's going to work, what's not going to work. They know their workflow. They know what works best for the patient, what works best for them, and they can be such a positive voice and have such positive feedback when implementing a program such as this.
So, Elizabeth, I look at all the amazing things that nurses are doing out there. Companies are bringing nurses in very early in the development stages of new treatments and new devices to make sure that their input is heard. And I'm wondering what kind of feedback you're getting from the other nurses you meet who maybe have implemented similar protocols in their specialties for critical patients, or maybe come up with an innovation of their own that you've heard about.
Jamie, I completely agree. I think that every day I hear more and more stories about nurses who whose opinion is being sought out with regards to innovative practices or products or devices. And I think it's very, very exciting. I think that what's most exciting is that folks are taking notice of the incredible value and important perspective that the nursing profession can provide, and they're using that to improve patient outcomes.
As we wrap up here, Elizabeth, can you maybe share with us and a piece of advice that you might have for that nurse or that nursing student who has the inspiration for an innovative idea that might improve patient care in some way or improve patient outcomes in some way, and what you would give them, that piece of advice that is going to help them moving forward?
Absolutely, Jamie. So I would say, first and foremost, to anyone who has an idea that can improve patient outcomes, that can improve the way that we as healthcare providers function, operate, do things, go for it. Take that idea, talk with folks who could be your stakeholders, do your research, create your plan, and move forward. Don't let barriers or obstacles be frustrating. Don't let them get you down. Learn from them, and continue to move forward. Celebrate your victories. Celebrate the wins. But again, move forward with your idea. You have great ideas. The nurse at the bedside has this unique perspective that nobody else on the team has. So take the ideas that you have, and run with them. And I think, always, always, always focus on, at the end of the day, the patient. And by doing that, you will be successful.
Stay tuned for more new episodes here at Notes on Nursing Live coming soon. And check out another recent episode where I interview Margaret Gurowitz, the chief historian at Johnson & Johnson. Margaret is responsible for bringing to life the heritage of Johnson & Johnson for employees and the public, and she curates exhibits in Johnson & Johnson, Our Story, at the Powerhouse, the company's museum located on the Johnson & Johnson World Headquarters campus in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Check out that and other episodes of Notes on Nursing Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on nursing.jnj.com. Also, don't forget to submit your own innovative ideas to the Johnson & Johnson Nurses Innovate Quickfire Challenge for a chance to win access to grants and mentoring. More details can be found on nursing.jnj.com/home. Notes on Nursing Live is recorded for Johnson & Johnson Nursing by Medic Cast Productions. All rights reserved.